I'm thankful for the privilege and opportunity to serve the Lord. I often say, you hear me say from time to time, I don't feel forced to do this. I'm doing it because the Lord has put a desire in my heart to go all the way with Him, no matter what the cost. And I do know this. I do know, I heard the old folks say that heaven is cheap at any cost, and I believe that. I believe that it's cheap no matter what we have to go through, no matter what trials and tests that the Lord sees fit to take us through. I'm convinced that the Lord takes us through those trials only because we need them, not because He's trying to do something. We need them. We need them in order. It's what it's going to take for us to get to heaven. So when I take that into consideration, I'm thankful for all that the Lord has allowed to happen in my life and all that He's doing in my life. As we said earlier, today is the last day, last Sunday of this 2012. And what we often see when we, in the news and whatnot, they do what's called a year in review. And basically what they do, in essence, is go back and the highlights of what happened in this year, they present those highlights and they remind us of some things that we may have forgotten during the year, and maybe some sad things that happened, maybe some great triumphs that happened during the course of the year. And now the year is gone and there's no way to retrieve it. What has been is, and we can't make any changes on that. And so now what we have to take into consideration is we look forward to a new year, don't we? We look forward to, Lord, what is it that You would desire for me to do for me, for me to do for You in this coming year? I want to talk a little bit about that. I want us to take a retrospective look, if you will, at what we have done this past year. I want us to turn to a very familiar set of scriptures in the 25th chapter of Matthew, starting at the 14th verse. If you have it, you can read it. Kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country. Now, it's speaking about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, this is a parable in essence. The kingdom of heaven is like as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, to another one, to every man according to his several abilities. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two had also gained others two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckon it with them. So he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent, he came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid, and went, and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not, and you knew that I gather where I strawed not. You should have, therefore, I put my money to the exchanger, and at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath, to him shall be given, and he have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what I'd like to present to is, it says the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto him them his goods. The Lord has given us something over this past year. He's given us all. What has he given us? He's given us all 365 days in a year, right? He's given us all 24 hours in a day. He's given us all ability. Now, we note here in this passage of Scripture that he gave everyone according to their several ability. The Lord gives you what he gives you. He's given you the ability that he's given you, and he's expecting something in return. Now, I want to make a note here that there is no supervision. He didn't stand over their shoulders and tell them what you must do. You better do this or else. He didn't say that. He gave them full liberty to do what they felt was the best thing and the right thing to do. Do you know the Lord is like that with us? He does not make demands of us. He does not demand that I do anything. Do you understand what I'm saying? He doesn't demand that I come to church. He doesn't demand that I get up in the morning and worship him. He doesn't demand that I read my Bible and I pray. But he said, I've given you the opportunity, and it is in your best interest to do it. And I've given you the ability to do it. And I want you to take what I've given you, and I want you to utilize it in such a way that it is beneficial and profitable not only to you, but to me also. Alright? So this is what the Lord is saying here. So he said, he gave them according to their several ability, and straightway he took his journey. So in other words, he said, I know what you're capable of. I know, he knows what each one of us are capable of. And when we look at it, I've often said this as I've ministered among you, I've often said that the person that is sitting next to you is superior in some way than you are. Alright? And they are inferior in some way than you are. And so there is, in one sense, an equal playing field, if you will, that the Lord knows what your ability is. He knows what my ability is. He knows what your inability is. He knows what my inability is. And he's not expecting me, if I'm one that has five talents, he's not expecting me to produce something that's beyond my ability to produce. But what he is expecting is for me to utilize what he has given me to the fullest extent of what he says that I'm able to do. Alright? So he gave me, gave all of us according to our several ability. And then he took his journey. So coming up in the next couple of days, he's going to say, alright, I'm going to give you. Really what he does, he gives us a moment at a time, doesn't he? And we can look at those moments that we have. That one moment that I make a decision to do something, whether it's beneficial or whether it's the right choice or whether it's the wrong choice. He gives us a moment to think about those choices that we make. And now what happens in the course of the year is something that we like to step back and we like to look at, what did I accomplish this year? Did I set my goals? We start at the beginning of a new year. What do? We make resolutions. We decide in our mind what I want to accomplish in that year. And we ask the Lord. We should ask the Lord. Lord, this is what I want to accomplish if it be your will. There are some things, goals that I have, and I think it's a good thing for us to write down goals. And I've learned in my own experience that when you write them down, that you're more likely to accomplish them. Did you know that? There really is something about it. So there are some things, whether they're spiritual goals, whether they're temporal goals, whatever it may be, I want to be closer to the Lord. Write it down. Lord, I want to spend more time with you this year, this coming year. And we did that at the beginning of this year of 2012. Now, as we reflect back at the end of the last Sunday of 2012, as we reflect back on that and we look at our year in review, can we say that we did the things that the Lord is well pleased? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. This is what this Lord is doing here, is he's looking at, I gave you something, and I gave you a space of time in which to utilize that and to bring about some type of profit, and I'm coming back for all of you at the same time, and all of you have had the same amount of time to do whatever it is that you were going to do with what I gave you. Now, as we look in retrospect, what did you do? He says to the first one, well, Lord, you gave me five talents, and by five talents I made five more talents. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you rule over many things. Do you realize in order to get, the Lord takes us through spiritual challenges and spiritual testings. And he sees what we're going to do. A lot of the things that the trials and the tests and the things that he takes us through is because he wants to use us even in a greater way. He wants to put us over something even more than what we are now. But do we fail the Lord, or do we step up to the plate, so to speak, and do what the Lord would have us to do? So he said to him, "Well done. You've been faithful over these five talents that I've given you. They made five more talents." He didn't say, "Well, you should have done more." Or he didn't say that wasn't good enough. He said, "Well done." Then he went to the one that had two, and he said, "What have you done as you reflect over the amount of time that I gave you to do this particular thing for me? What have you done with it?" He said, "Well, Lord, you gave me two, and with those two, I made two more." He didn't say, "Listen, I compare you with the guy that has five. You should have been able to do at least what he did." He didn't say that, did he? He said, "Well done. I'm happy with what you did." The fact of the matter is that he did something with what he had. And what he did is he did the very best that he could with what he had. That's all God requires of you and me, to do the very best that we can with what he's given us. All right, so he went to the one with one talent. Now, you suppose that the Lord would have been upset at this man if he'd have said, "Lord, you know what? You gave me one talent, and I got two talents. I know it's not what the one that had five talents, the one that had two. I know that I'm not even looking at them, Lord." And you know, sometimes it's necessary for us to take our eyes off of what everybody else is doing. We get discouraged because we see what everybody else is doing, and maybe they're going far beyond what we feel like we could do, and I'm not going to do this anymore. Because I'm not very good at it. It doesn't matter. What matters is that God gave you the talent and the ability, and he gave you the amount of time to do something with what he's given you. And your job is not to look at the other man. Your job is not to look at the person sitting next to you and saying, "They're going so far ahead of me." It doesn't matter. What matters is that the Lord is going to be the judge of me. The Lord is going to be the judge of you. And the Lord is going to say to you and to me that you did well done. You had one. That's all I knew you could do was one. At least you put forth an effort. I believe that he would have said, "Lord, I tried, and I'm just not very good at this financial thing. And I went here, and I went there, and I put it in some very safe investments, Lord, because I didn't want to lose it, and I know I'm not very good at this." Anyway, do you know the Lord said you should have taken it to the usury, and you should have gotten some interest on it. You may have gotten only half of a talent, but you'd have gotten something if you'd have put forth the effort. So as we look in this new year, as we reflect on this 2012, we look back at what took place. Can we say that we are satisfied with how our spiritual walk with the Lord was this year? Now that's not something that is, I'm not the judge here. I'm not going to say, "You know what? I think you could have done a little bit more for the Lord than what you did." That's not my job. But my job is to lay it out to you, and it is to say, "Listen, the Lord, at some point, your Lord is going to come back, and you're going to give an account of this year." Now, if you wasted a good portion of it, then you can redeem the time. You can say, "Lord, if you give me another year, what I'm willing to do, Lord, I'm willing to make certain that year that I had, that you give me." Thank you. "I'm willing to say that year that you give me, it will be a profitable year." He said, "Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So can you say that you went through your trials and your testings with victory? Can you say that you went through with what the Lord gave you with every trial? He gave you what you needed to go through it, right? So are we making excuses for ourselves for not having gone through it with the level of victory that the Lord had available to us? All right. So, I want to point out a few things here before we go to the next scriptures. It says there was no supervision. All right. So he didn't say, "I'm going to supervise you and make sure you do it, and I'll be standing over your shoulder and make sure you do what you're supposed to do." The Lord didn't do that, does he? But there is an expectation that he has. And you know at the beginning that there is an expectation. I don't know what he said to his servants, but there was an expectation that I expect something from what I've given you. And the ones that had five talents, he knew what that expectation.
Yes.
And the one that had two talents, he knew that expectation. And the one that had one, he knew it as well.
Amen.
He said, I knew what kind of man you are. I want to turn to another one, Luke the 19th. It brings out another point that's very similar to this. 19th chapter, start at the 11th verse.
Had
and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem,
and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear.
He said, therefore, certain noblemen went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. Now he was going to return, and we knew that, didn't it? You know, one of the things about 2012 wasn't on December the 22nd or something. The world was supposed to end. What is it? The 21st. So December the 21st, 2012, the world was supposed to end according to the Aztec calendar or something. All right? Well, it didn't. We're still here. But you know, it doesn't mean that it's not going to end. I knew it wasn't going to end on that day. It doesn't, right? Scripture says, of that day and hour knoweth no man. The Lord doesn't know. The only one that knows is God himself. But I do know that the signs are pointing very close to the end of time. So it's very necessary for us to make certain that we are living every day as though it might be our last, because one of them is going to be our last. Lord help us. All right, there are folks this year, as we look back on this year, there are folks that we know personally that we didn't expect at the beginning of the year, we didn't expect them just to be a memory now. They're gone. And we didn't expect it. They went maybe in an accident or maybe completely unexpectedly, but they're gone. Their time on earth is no more. And they didn't know that they were going to die so soon. You know, one of these days is going to be us. One of these days you're going to be talking about me in past tense. Somebody's going to be talking about you in past tense. They were this, they were that. We want to make certain when that time comes, we have lived our life like the Lord wanted us to. All right? All right, read, please.
And he called his 10 servants.
He called his 10 servants.
And delivered them 10 pounds.
He delivered them 10 pounds.
And said unto them,
Occupy till I come. You don't know when I'm coming back, but he gave, apparently in this parable, it appears that he had 10 servants, he had 10 pounds, and he gave them all the same thing. Occupy till I come. All right?
The citizens hated him.
Sent a message after him, saying,
We will not
have this man reign over us.
And it came to pass
that when he was returned, having received the kingdom,
he commanded
these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. The Lord expects you to do something with what he's given you. The Lord expects you to do the salvation that he's given you. He expects you to do something with it. His love, the Spirit of God that is in you, the Lord expects you to do something with it. He expects you to speak to souls, to pray for souls, to win souls to him. He's expecting that of you and me. Have we done it? Have we done it in the way that the Lord would have us to do it? As we look back over this year, in retrospect, can we say, Lord, I have done it, and I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But you know, in order to hear those words, you're going to have done something, right? All right. What have you done? What have you done for the Lord? All right, read.
Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds.
Thou pound... Now, this was a pretty good investor. This fellow knew what he was doing, didn't he? He said, thou pound hast gained 10 pounds. He said unto him,
Well, thou good servant.
Well, thou good servant.
Thou hast been faithful in a very little.
You've been faithful in the very little. Have thou authority over 10 cities.
And the second came, saying, Lord,
thou pound hast gained 5 pounds.
And he said,
likewise to him,
Be thou also
over 5 cities.
And another came, Lord,
saying, Lord,
behold,
here is thy pound,
which I have kept
laid up in a napkin.
For I fear thee,
because thou art an austere man, Now let's stop right there for a moment. Folks can do all kinds of excuses. The Lord don't stand for excuses. All of us justify. Every man's way, the Scripture says, is right in his own eyes. So we can look at our situation and we can come up with a decision in our mind that I'm not going to be able to do this because of this, that, or the other. This man had in his mind what he could do and felt like the Lord, he was projecting his thoughts on God, on the Lord, on this nobleman. He was saying, well, surely he's going to see it the way that I see it. It is not for us to project our thoughts on the nobleman. It is for us to understand that the Lord has given us something, Lord, and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? What is it? I want to have your thoughts. I don't want you to have mine. If there is a change that needs to happen in the thought process, it's not God's thought process that needs to be changed. It's ours. Our responsibility, Lord, let me have the mind of Christ. I want to think like you, Lord. I want the things that you would give me. I want to do it, whatever it is that you would do with this one talent, this little money that you've given me, whatever it is that you would do with this pound, teach me how to do it, Lord. Give me what you would have me to have in this coming year. Because I want to be able to look back on 2013, and I want to be able to say, you know what, Lord, I feel like the pound that you gave me, this 365 days, this 24 hours in a day, this moment by moment that you gave me to do your will and your work, I want to be able to say at the end of it, Lord, I want to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've done good. Other folks may not think of it, but they're not the judge. They're not your judge. I'm not your judge. The Lord is your judge. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad the Lord is your judge? Have you ever been in a situation where somebody judged you too harshly because they didn't understand? And you're trying to explain, well, you know what, I couldn't do it. The Lord understands. The Lord understands things that I don't understand about me. The Lord understands things about you that you don't understand. There are some times that we have these goals that we want to reach, and the Lord knows you can't reach them. Not without Him. And they're your own goal. They're the things that you put in your heart, and you're disappointed in yourself. Have you ever been disappointed in yourself, and the Lord consoles you and says, I knew you couldn't do it in the first place, but I'm glad you reached for it. I'm glad you strived for it, but I knew you couldn't do it in and of yourself. You needed me in order to do it, and the Lord consoles us in our failures. But you know what? One of the things that we don't have to do is we don't have to fail when it comes to the things of God. Isn't that wonderful? All right. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Very familiar text of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Read it for us. There is no temptation taking you, such as is common to man. God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, you know what? Temptation. Let's deal with the temptation for a moment. The temptation is something that is, there is something attractive about temptation to a person. I don't know how to explain it, but you follow me here. It wouldn't be a temptation if there was no possibility of attraction. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so here he says that no temptation is taking you, but such as is common to man. Everything that you're going to go through this year, everything that you've gone through this year, somebody else went through it too. And they went through it with victory. And you know, oftentimes that's an encouragement to me, no matter what it is that the devil presents to you, there was a temptation that he presented to the Lord, isn't it? He took him up into the temple, up into the wilderness. He went up into the wilderness, the Holy Ghost took him up into the wilderness, to be tempted of the devil. All right, and he was tempted through the things of the flesh. The Lord Jesus was tempted. Adam and Eve were tempted. You and I are going to be tempted as well. But no temptation has taken you but such as is common. Don't ever think that you're the only one that is going through this problem. I'm the only one that don't have a pity party like that. There are others that are going through it as well. Their circumstances are the same. But let me tell you, there is a promise that goes along with every temptation. There's a promise that goes along with every trial that the Lord is not going to allow you to go through something that the only option that you have is to fail. It ain't going to happen. According to the Scripture, it is not going to happen. So no temptation has taken you, but such as is common. There are others that have gone through what you're going through right now. And do you know that? That makes it encouraging to me, because I know if they can go through it, I can go through it too. If God can give them the victory in their lives, and give me the victory as well. And I don't have to yield. I don't have to fall. I don't have to just succumb to the things that the enemy presents to me. I don't have to do it. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? No temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. I want you to remember that. When you look back over this year, can you say that God has been faithful to you in every trial that you've ever gone through? Now, there have been some times that we've failed Him. There have been times that we've had to go, Lord, I didn't want to fail You, but I wasn't as diligent about this area of my life as I should have been. So therefore, as a result of that, when I came to this, I didn't go through that test quite like You wanted me to, like I wanted to go through, and like I think You may have wanted me to go through. Lord, would You have mercy on me? Yeah. And what does the Lord do? He has mercy on you. Yeah. He's faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now again, what we're talking about is ability, right? He gave us the talents according to our ability. He gave us what He wants us to do, the positive things that He wants us to do. The things that are progressive, He gives them according to our ability. Now the trials He gives us according to our ability. So every trial that you go through, that you went through this year, everything that presented itself to you, on the other side of that, or right in the midst of that, the thread through it, you might say, is, I have the ability to go through this with victory. Yeah. Period. Yeah. Why? Because God is faithful. Yeah. I don't know. Well, you know, I don't know. This one is a hard one, Brother Darren. I don't know if I can go through. Oh, yes, you can, according to the Scripture, according to your ability is what the Lord is expecting you to do. Now, you know what, sometimes we look at it and we see that there are some people that are naturally impatient. I know somebody. I ain't going to tell you who they are. Self-incriminating. And the Lord has to work with us on patience, doesn't He? And then there are those that are naturally not impatient. And we cannot look at a person that is naturally not impatient. They're slow. Everything is just deliberate. If we don't get it done there, now, today, we'll get it done tomorrow. If we can't get it done tomorrow, we'll get it done as soon as we can. Now, that would drive some of us crazy with it. That would be a great trial to us. And so the Lord puts them, and we see that they're just sitting there waiting, and the things are going, and then we're over here just kind of getting a little anxious, you might say. I can't look at that person and say, you know what, I wish I could be as patient as that person is. I wish the Lord has given them something that He has not yet given me. I'm saying that I'm putting myself in that place. But I can seek for it. And I can say, Lord, I want what they've got, but I want what You've got for me. And when we have what, you know, the Lord didn't intend for everybody to be slow. We would never get anything done if everybody was wait till tomorrow. If we can't do it tomorrow, we'll do it next week. Some folks want it done yesterday and they just started today. Well, the Lord had those too, and you know what happens? We begin to push one another and help one another in the areas that the Lord would have us to. You follow me? All right, so you won't find a trial that you're going to go through this coming year that you don't have the ability to have victory in. It won't happen. And you know what? Look at your trials this year. Look in retrospect over this year. Do you remember when you started in them, it seemed like they were going to be hard, but you knew you were going to get through it by the grace of God. And you said to yourself, you know what? It might be hard. It might be difficult, but I'm going to have victory if it kills me. And do you know when you have that kind of a determination in your heart, there is no trial that you'll ever come across that you won't have victory in. So when you look at your victories, your trials, do you have as many victories as you have battles this year? As many victories as you have battles? Some were very decisive victories and some were not as decisive as you wanted them to be, but that's what you're working on, Lord, by your grace. They will be decisive next time I come up to them. I won. Maybe I was battered and torn, but I won. You know what the Lord says? Well done. Well done in that battle. I knew you were going to be battered and torn in the end, but there were some things that I wanted to tell you, because in the beginning of it, you were fighting in your own strength. At the beginning of that battle, you thought, oh, I can handle this, Lord. I don't know. Somebody told me there's some things you don't need the Lord to do for you. This is a person that's halfway being funny, but I believe halfway being serious as well. Some things you can just handle for yourself. And we do that sometimes. Sometimes we fight our own battles and we get battered and torn, and then we realize I can't do this on my own. I need the Lord to help me. And then the Lord just puts the shield of faith and cuddles us up and fights the battle for us, and we end up winning. We have a few scars as a result of what we did, but we still have the victory. Well done. Well done. All right. Moving on. Luke 16, 10. Read it for you. He that is faithful in that which is least
is faithful also in much.
He that is unjust in the least, he's unjust also in much.
If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner,
yes,
who will commit to your trust the true riches?
Who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now I want to say this to you. Know what? We have to cultivate habits and character. Spiritually speaking as well. And if you notice how the Lord said the ones that were faithful in the little bit, he gave them more. You want more spiritual responsibility? Be faithful in what the Lord's given you. Because if you're faithful in the little bitty things, you're going to be faithful in the large things. You know, I see the Lord take young men and women through some very severe trials. And I want to say that I remember, and he still takes us through them as we get old, middle age. He still takes us through trials because he's preparing us for something that he wants to do. I remember the trials that the Lord would take us through when he was calling us to the ministry. There were some very severe things that we went through. And, you know, I didn't realize what was going on. We didn't realize what was going on, but we were determined, I'm going to be faithful in this. People did us wrong. They said things about us, and we still find that kind of thing happens. But, you know, you're just going to be faithful to the Lord. Lord, you allowed this to happen, and so therefore, you've got a purpose in it, and I'm going to do according to your purpose. And as we do that, the Lord puts in us what he shows us what we need. And he gives us what we need. But do you know, I've seen some people fail as a result of what other people did to them. I can't do this. Y'all ain't treating me right. Folks ain't going to treat you right. I've learned that. Some of them are well-meaning and some of them aren't well-meaning. Some of them know what they're doing, and they're doing it deliberately, and they're doing it ignorantly. And some of them don't know what they're doing. But the point is, how did you handle it this year? In retrospect, how did you handle what people did to you? You give them a good leaving alone, I don't have nothing to do with them anymore. Lord, help us. All right, we're moving toward our conclusion. 1 Timothy 6 and 20. So if we're faithful over the few things, the Lord will give us more. 1 Timothy 6, verse 20.
Old Timothy?
Yes, old Timothy.
Keep that which is committed to thy trust.
Avoiding profane and vain babblings.
And
oppositions of science.
Falsely so called.
Some professing they have erred concerning the faith. Praise be with old Timothy. He's saying this. He's saying, old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings. Do you know we have been entrusted with something that's wonderful, saints? I believe this is the truth of God's word. I believe it'll get us to heaven. I've seen it happen. I can name multitudes of people that there's no question in my mind what the life that they live, whether or not God received them at the end of it. Now, it's been committed to us. So he's saying, Timothy, Keep that which has been committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babbling. Why would he say that? Why would he say avoid it? You know, sometimes folks like to get in spiritual religious debates. It's profane and vain babbling. Well, that's and the individuals that like to get in those kind of debates are not people that have a solid enough footing to be able to dispute what is being said. Do you realize that you can have a thought get into your mind and it makes so much sense from that angle that it can uproot the very thing that's been committed to your church? That which you know is right, it can uproot it. Don't allow that to happen. Avoid it. There are some things, there's some debates I just don't get into. You want to believe that? You believe it. But I'm not going to believe it, because I know what the Bible teaches, and I know what the Lord has revealed to me. He's shown it to me very plainly, and I'm going to keep that which has been committed unto me.
Amen.
And so I'm going to avoid everything else that's going to do what it can to uproot what I believe. Let me tell you, don't think that it can't happen to you. It's happening to folks that you never thought it would ever happen to. It could happen to any one of us that are here if we don't avoid and we don't do what the Bible said. This is why he's saying, oh, Timothy, you keep that which is committed unto you, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Let me tell you, there are going to be a lot of things that people can oppose. Well, I don't believe it. It's not possible to live free from sin. It's not possible, they say. Yes, it is. And they're going to explain to you, just because you don't have the experience, just because they don't have the experience, doesn't mean that it's not a true experience to be gotten from the Lord. So you avoid those things. When there's an introduction of a different kind of a doctrine that you know is not something that you've heard before, you avoid it. Some folks come talking to me that it's all right for us to speak in tongues. I don't believe that. Don't even talk to me about it. Don't even allow your mind to receive it and start accepting that, because if you do, they're going to have some things that sound pretty good that if you don't have the solid footing that you need, you're going to be knocked off your feet. Lord help us. Now, as we look over this year in retrospect, have you seen some folks that have done that? These are the highlights. You can name them. Have you seen somebody that once believed that the Bible is true and now they're having questions in their mind whether or not this is really the Word of God? Once believed that you can live a righteous, holy life, that it says, be holy, for I, why would he tell me to be holy like he's holy if I can't do it? That's cruel. To require something of me that you know I can't do. When you say everything is according to our ability, you're going to give us everything according to our ability. Have you seen people that once believed in this in retrospect, as you look back? Has it affected you? Did you start to believe that this science thing kind of makes sense? Oh, that makes sense. Okay. That makes sense. And now what you once believed, I don't see it like that anymore. All right, let's read another scripture. 1 Peter 4 and 4. Because the Lord's coming back, folks. He's coming back. And he's coming back. Say, okay, what did I give you? I gave you my word. I gave you a revelation. I gave you the ability to hold on to that revelation that I gave you. I gave you that ability. Did you hold on to it? No, Lord, I didn't hold on to it because of all everybody else was doing. I wasn't able to hold on like I needed to. Lord, help us. 4 and 4. 1 Peter.
We're in.
Okay, let's read. Let's just start at first verse. Is Christ himself for us in the flesh? Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting,
and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riots, speaking evil. Have anybody ever said anything evil about you? Because you're not doing what they're doing? You know, nowadays, you can be a Christian and do anything. Anything you want to do. All, you know, America is a Christian nation. Now, here's a little bit, you know what I'm talking about here. Nowadays, people out in the world, out in Christian organizations, you can commit any... Here's the logic behind that. If you can't live free from sin anyway, then you just do the very best that you can and allow the grace of God to cover that. So you have every sin in the book, every catalog of sin in the book. You have people that are Christians, I put that in quotations, that are doing it. And daring you to say something about it. And then they're being upset at you, wherein they think it's strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Well, you think you all that, because you don't do that. I know you do something. Lord, help us.
All right. So as we look in this year in review, do you know people like that? Have you seen situations that happen like that? Stand firm, saints.
Amen.
You keep that which is committed unto you. You keep it. Let folks do what they will. You keep it to your level of understanding. Because you're going to be the one, as we learned in our Sunday school lesson today, you're going to be the one that stand before God, and there's nobody going to be there with you to be your advocate but the Lord Jesus. All right? Now, were you successful in what you did? 2 Corinthians 10 and 18 and 2 Corinthians 5 and 9. Read those. We're almost done. And then someone get us Romans 14 and 12. 2 Corinthians 10 and 18.
Not he that commendeth himself is approved,
but whom the Lord commendeth. So this is what we want. And as we look at our year, we want the Lord to commend what we did. Not that you say, oh, you know, I think I had a pretty good year this year. Everything worked out just like kind of like I wanted it to for the most part. But it's not he who commends himself that is approved. It's who the Lord commends. So how does the Lord look at your life? The talents. The man that had the one talent that wrapped it up in a napkin, he looked at it and he said, you know, I think I did pretty good. At least I didn't lose your money, but the Lord did not commend him. So we can justify where we are, but that's not good enough. What matters is what the Lord does. Read 2 Corinthians 5 and 9, please.
Therefore we labor
that whether present or absent, we may be accepted. Not of ourselves, but we accepted of Him. That's what we're laboring for, saints. As we look back over the year, as we look toward the new year that the Lord is giving us, as we look toward it, we labor not to be accepted by everybody else, not to even be accepted by our own selves, but to be accepted by God. And if we're accepted by God, we're accepted by those that are important to God.
We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
All right. Isn't that wonderful? That the Lord, that I can live a life where the Lord can judge me and he can say, like he did to the servants, well done. I commend you for what you did. I'm not looking at the other man. I'm not looking at everybody else trying to keep up with them. I'm just doing what the Lord would have me to do, and that's good enough. I may only be one. I may be the one that gets, I had one talent, now I got two. That may be all that I have. But the Lord will say, well done. I may only have two talents, now I've got four. That may be all that I've got, but the Lord will say, well done. All right, let's go to Romans 14 and 12. We'll be done.
So then, every one of us shall give account of himself
to God. So, we're going to give an account of ourselves to God. Now, the Lord's going to say, what did he say to the servants with the pound? He said, what have you done with it? He didn't say, I've seen what you did. He said, what have you done? He said, well, Lord, and they gave an account. He said, well, Lord, you gave me one, you gave me two, and I have four. You gave me one, I've got ten. They gave it an accounting. And so in the same way, as you think about this year, we look on it in retrospect, we need to give an account. We need to look at it, we need to set down and put it on paper, so to speak. Lord, what have I done that you required me to do? How do I stand up to that? And as we do that, the Lord will show us. He'll give us a clear understanding of what it is that He wanted us to do and what it is that He wants us to do in the coming year. May the Lord help us to be faithful to the Lord all the days of our lives. Pray for me. Let us stand.
Three 21.